Yes, that line forms on the right babe. Not that Maggie. Back in time.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 202 on the Fan! McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning, and we made it! We made it to day one, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. 888-808-1019. Been waiting for this since Friday. I am so pumped up. Knicks fans, let's go. We got a big night ahead of us, a big day ahead of us. 888-808-1019. I'm here with you for the next 3 hours. We got Nico on the other side taking your phone calls, 888-808-1019. And we'll get to the Knicks. Most of the show will be looking forward to the Eastern Conference Finals and the matchup against the Indiana Pacers. But let's start with the Mets because obviously so much, and I was just listening to Keith, and I know yesterday, God knows, we talked so much Juan Soto and how much you guys are desperate to talk Juan Soto. And then another performance. Again, forget Juan Soto. Forget everything about all the nonsense on if he's happy or not, which, again, I don't typically do the Met fan, Yankee fan thing, but maybe we'll get into that because guess what? I feel like the Yankee fans are getting a bad rap in this whole story. But obviously, he's struggling. The entire offense is struggling. And now it's been able to be swept under the rug, right? And I heard, I watched the post game. And I watched Mendoza talk about it. We're going through it right now. The owner, Steve Cohen, comes on Twitter and talks about the ups and downs of a season. Well, here's the truth. Here's the plain truth, Met fans, and you know it better than I know it. This is not the ups and downs of the season for the offense. This is not we're going through it right now for the offense. This offense has been unable to hit with runners in scoring position this entire season. This is not new. They are not going through it right now. This has been what this offense has been all year. They are the third worst team in baseball. The third worst team in baseball with runners in scoring position. This is not some new trend. The losing is a new trend. Losing 5 of 6. Losing back-to-back series. But we've talked about it for a long time now. This pitching staff and the Mets pitching lab and what they've been able to do has been covering up an offense that's been going through it for almost the entire year. And an incredible start from Pete Alonso and a really incredible start outside of maybe the first week of the season from Lindor have really covered up what has been the issue for this team all year long. An offense that continues to struggle with runners in scoring position. And yeah, the face of it is Juan Soto. And so much of what we talked about and the nature of the Subway Series and everything coming off of that. And I think it's had an impact on this team specifically right now. But honestly, when you look at it, Pete Alonso's cooled off. Lindor's cooled off. You've gotten a couple of bad starts. McGill isn't another guy just plugging along in this incredible nonstop unbelievable run of starting pitching. So you've run into McGill kind of falling off as we wait for Blackburn to return from injury. And even Kodai Senga, who managed to get through the game and ultimately gave you a pretty damn good start for someone who had an ERA of 1.1 heading into the game, still only gave up 3 runs, but he wasn't pitch perfect. And the New York Yankees, the last game against Pittsburgh, where the offense looked absolutely ice cold. It looked like the Mets were going through the motions. They get shut down on Friday night, have their opportunities against Carlos Rodon, but come up small in almost every spot. They scored just enough on another great pitching performance by the incredible, just unbelievably amazing Griffin Canning on Saturday, and you score just enough runs late, and it's based on what? Infield singles and hits batters and sacrifice flies. another game offensively on Sunday where you're shut down by Max Fried, and now they've rolled into Boston off of that series, off of all the Soto talk, off of all this, whether he's unhappy, whether he's glum, whether he's ducking the media, whether other teammates have to step up in his place to talk on Sunday Night Baseball, whatever the case may be, this offense in a game last night where Walker Buehler gets thrown out of the game in the third inning. Walker Buehler, who was pitching relatively well, had four strikeouts in the first two and a third innings, had given up no hits in his first return from the injured list, and you weren't sure how long he was going to go into the game anyway, but you allowed a Red Sox team that is 4.5 games behind the New York Yankees, that has been mediocre at best with a lot of hype heading into the season as one of the better teams in a down American League, who have not found their footing really all year, have their own problems with their superstar who doesn't want to DH, who doesn't want to play first base, and that noise kind of overcoming and being a major albatross around the neck of this Boston Red Sox season. And you let them, who haven't, you know, been playing well really at all this year, completely shut down this offense. And Walker Buehler gets thrown out in the third inning, and a cavalcade of Boston Red Sox relievers, ending with Aroldis Chapman, throw 6 2/3 of scoreless baseball. And right now, this Met team is, as the manager said, going through it. Now, look, they're still a very good team. And when it comes to Juan Soto, whatever we hear and whatever, you know, one-liners you read or see from WFAN or myself on social media about our concerns about Juan Soto, I think it's all understood that we don't expect this to last forever. No one expects Juan Soto to be bad all year, and he hasn't even been that bad. But everyone expects Juan Soto to find himself. Everyone expects Juan Soto to turn this around. Everyone expects Juan Soto to impact this offense. But the fact of the matter is, right now he's not. It's not a made-up Yankee fan narrative. It's not a made-up media narrative. We can see the emotion on his face. It is no longer up for debate. Something is up with Juan Soto. Now, the idea he's desperate to be a Yankee, the idea he's miserable being a Met? Sure. That's probably a narrative that's unfair. No reason to believe it to be as strong as it's being reported. But it is not a Yankee fan narrative or something out of left field that is being perpetrated upon Juan Soto and the New York Mets. The idea that he's, like, we all watch it, we all see it, you see it too. There is something wrong, and Juan Soto is not playing with his normal joy for baseball. That's a fact. And all the noise around it through the Subway Series feels like, despite that this offense really has been like this, Juan Soto's been struggling with runners in scoring position the entire year. This Met team, it's not just the last 5 games out of 6. They're the third worst team in baseball with runners in scoring position. That doesn't happen in 4 or 5 games. This has been an issue for this Met team. You've watched them win a lot of one-run games. You've seen a lot of incredible starts. You've seen a lot of need out of guys like Reed Garrett and Diaz and this bullpen that was really incredible to start the year. And it was needed every single game because this team has not hit. And now they're a game and a half behind the Philadelphia Phillies, who have come up, surpassed them, playing the Colorado Rockies. The division lead is gone. And this offense, they have got to find something because, let's be honest, it's not just Juan Soto. I do believe there's something to the idea of all of the talk around Juan Soto and all of the wondering if Juan Soto's happy and reports he's glum and sad inside the clubhouse. I think it's probably carrying over and bringing some sort of issue inside the room and on the team. I don't expect it to last forever. I don't think it's anything that's going to really hamper this team from being where it wants to be at the end of the year. That is maybe something that they're just going through over the last couple days. But Mark Vientos has been struggling offensively and defensively this entire season. Alvarez has not lived up to what we thought he could be as an offensive player, as the top prospect in all of baseball a couple years ago. That goes far beyond the last 5 days. what we're seeing Brandon Nimmo's up and down season and what he's going through is not new to this team over the last five or six games. This team that was really built on offense, and it was supposed to be explosive when Juan Soto was signed. That's why you were all so happy about his signing. Yes, stealing it away from the Yankee fan, the dynamic shift of the city, and all the stuff that you've been able to hold over the Yankee fan and everything like that. Sure, right? That was part of it. But the other part was an incredible offensive player was joining your team. And then you got Pete Alonso back. Vientos was a young, budding superstar, and the way he performed last year and into the postseason, hopefully a full season of a healthy Alvarez. Lindor, building on what he's become as a New York Met and the MVP-type player he became at the end of last year. This was supposed to be an explosive offense and a pitching staff that the Lab would be able to get this mediocre rotation without a true ace, and this is the talking points going into the season. Not necessarily how we feel right now, but it was supposed to be an average rotation with guys with a bunch of depth of Blackburn and Griffin Canning and transitioning Clay Holmes into a reliever and what you got from Peterson last year and McGill and, you know, obviously Manaea, who hasn't even, you know, shown up yet, who's still dealing with an injury. And Frankie Montas. This was supposed to be a starting rotation and a bullpen that was very good last year with one of the best closers in baseball at the end of it, and a starting rotation that had a lot of depth and a bunch of 3-4 starters that the Met fans and the organization felt they could get just enough out of and figure out just enough in their pitching lab to turn this rotation into just good enough to go win games with an offense that was supposed to carry it. And I don't know if you've ever heard me, listen to me, I am very big on your strengths being your strengths. And when you have a weakness or perceived weakness, and this is what made the Mets incredible last year, is when you have a perceived weakness like your starting rotation, and it becomes your biggest strength, and it's one of the best starting rotations in all of baseball, that transforms a team that you hoped would be an average run-of-the-mill team that could compete for a postseason with the new rules inside of Major League Baseball, and turned it into the best team in the National League or in baseball in the second half of the season. But you also need your strengths to be your strengths. And right now, this team is supposed to be carried by its offense. It's supposed to be carried by the first 3 or 4 hitters in this lineup. It's supposed to be carried by guys like Marte. It's supposed to be carried by guys like Brandon Nimmo. It's supposed to be carried by the idea top to bottom, which in some aspects they do have as many good or above average major league hitters throughout the lineup. But as the managers talked about, it's contagious what they're going through right now with lack of runners in scoring position. And I can promise you, as a Yankee fan, I'm well aware of what this looks like. We have seen this before. But in a game where all this talk is going on about Juan Soto and lack of hustle and losing the Subway Series and knowing Philadelphia is playing arguably the worst team we've ever seen, right, worse than last year's Chicago White Sox. Worse than the initial Met team of 1962. They're out there playing the Colorado Rockies. You're coming off the Subway Series loss. You lose the first game to the Boston Red Sox, a 500 team pretty much. All the talk around Juan Soto. And you come out. The starting pitcher gets thrown out for arguing balls and strikes in the third inning, and you allow the Boston Red Sox to empty out their bullpen and shut you out? This offense has got to be better. Plain and simple. And I know right now we feel like, you know, I'm the first to tell you, it's a baseball season. It's a long baseball season. It's 162 games. I'm not declaring the Mets in any real danger. They're 10 games over 500. They played extremely well. Their rotation and their pitching staff have been far better than we ever expected. They still have a Juan Soto. Everyone, including me and anybody who's had issues with the way he's played baseball over the last, you know, couple weeks or really this season, expect him to turn it around. I expect this offense to turn it around. But right now, we have to see it. We're about to hit Memorial Day weekend, which is the first real tentpole moment for a baseball season where you look around at your team, and if you look at the New York Mets, they're one of the more feeble teams in all of baseball with runners in scoring position. And if you want to win baseball games, that's a key stat. And if Alonso isn't killing the ball and Lindor isn't killing the ball, right now, Juan Soto hasn't been that guy to impact the team. So you wonder why we're talking about Juan Soto? You wonder why we're talking about what he's looked like and his numbers in scoring position and his joy for the game and where's the Soto shuffle and all that stuff? Do you know why? Because it wasn't that hard to see that eventually this great pitching staff wasn't going to be able to cover all of the ills of the offense forever. And Juan Soto is a guy who, okay, is, and I know the contract has been a discussion over the last day. Yeah. Is he a guy worth $765 million? Here's a clue. Nobody is. Juan Soto is drastically overpaid. We all know that. You knew that when you signed the contract. But he's an incredible baseball player, and you do it because he's 26 years old, and for the next 7 to 10 years, he's going to be someone who dramatically impacts your offense, someone who dramatically impacts your team. And the fact of the matter is, when you look at, you know, this game, the double play in the first game of the series, and how he played in the Subway Series going 1-for-10, and what he's been this entire year with runners in scoring position, Juan Soto is not impacting the team. He is not impacting runs scored enough. And right now, fair or unfair, media-driven, Yankee fan-driven, whatever excuses we want to make, he's impacting the team in a negative way because it's become a story. And not hustling has become a story. And his ineffectiveness has become a story. And whether or not he's happy being a Met has become a story. And when you can ride on the high vibes of Grimace, and you can ride on the high vibes of OMG, and you can ride on the high vibes of everything the Mets did last year all the way to an NLCS, but you can ride and get mogged down and bogged down and mired down, mogged and mired in the same word, bogged and mired down in negative storylines and negative juice. You can. And right now, that's what it feels like coming off the Subway Series. It has been a momentum shift for the New York Mets. So when the manager says we're going through it, it feels like they are. The offense is going through it. The vibes are going through it. Losing the Subway Series, Juan Soto, everything about it is going through it. But this isn't a new thing for the New York Mets when it comes to runners in scoring position. So the fact of the matter is, this team needs to turn it around. This team is now playing a big game against the Boston Red Sox. You do not want to go out to Boston and get swept. And they're going to have to find a way. And the manager talked about talking to the team and some of the trends he's seeing as an offense, not being aggressive enough. And listen, there's been some hitting into bad luck. Absolutely. They hit a couple of bullets in this game. And you can go back to a bunch of different games where they have some hard hits that are, you know, they teams have played good defense against them. They've hit into some bad luck. There's numbers to prove that. But the fact of the matter is, this offense is supposed to carry them. Juan Soto's supposed to be at the top of that, carrying them. Pete Alonso did it for a month. He wasn't going to do it for six. He's cooled off. The balls aren't flying out of the ballpark just in his last, 50 at-bats without a home run now? And this Met offense, and Juan Soto, whether we want to poo-poo it or not, which I got to admit, I'm getting annoyed, and I typically don't do the Met fan, Yankee fan thing. I don't lean into that. Occasionally on Twitter I will and have some fun because that's what that's for a little bit. This is not me trolling the Met fan. This is me as a baseball observer. And quite honestly, even if you want to throw the Yankee fan thing at me, yeah, a Yankee fan that's been rooting for the Mets over the last two games against the Boston Red Sox, and I'd like to have a larger division lead. So even if you think I'm coming at it as a baseball fan watching the New York Mets and this offense, and particularly in a game when the starting pitcher gets thrown out and the entire Boston plan has to change and they throw out a cavalcade of relievers and shut down the Mets last night. And again, I don't get into the Met fan, Yankee fan thing, but if Met fans want to get all into, well, this is all a narrative driven by the Yankee fans and the media and all the stuff I've heard over the last few days and it's all made up and everything. Yeah, look, should there be a ton of stock put into the idea that Juan Soto hates being a Met? Yeah, there shouldn't be a lot of stock put into that. Should there be a lot of stock put into the idea that Juan Soto is desperate to be a Yankee and misses it, and he wanted to be a Yankee, but outside forces like family members and everything else pushed him into it? Yeah, I'd be skeptical to hear that too. I'm not buying any of that. But if you think it's made up that Juan Soto doesn't look like Juan Soto, if you think it's made up that his body language screams someone who's in the moment for whatever reason, maybe just because he's slumping, that's a perfectly good reason. No one's denying it. It doesn't change what we're seeing. He doesn't look like himself. The at-bats don't look like Juan Soto. And a guy who last year for the New York Yankees was a killer with runners in scoring position, this year has been awful, and right now, this entire narrative that, you know, we won't shut up about feels like it's hovering over the team. And the offense has to do a hell of a lot better with runners in scoring position.